When I get home to the States, they're going to ask me, what was it like? And I'll be able to tell them, there's people over there that love God, that want to hear the word and want to receive the word. And that's what I found, and I appreciate it. Thank you again for the way that you've received my wife and myself. And we praise the Lord to be able to be with you. When I'm on the road, I represent Fairhaven Baptist College in Chesterton, Indiana, in the States. It's a college about 40 years old. Campus is beautiful. Staff is well-trained, lots of experience. I got my staff from there when I was pastoring. And they send out missionaries, and we sent many missionaries, supported many missionaries from there. Well, when I went on the road as an evangelist, I went to them and I said, you got one of the best things going out there that nobody knows about. And I would like to have the privilege. I don't want anything for it. I'm not asking for any pay, and they didn't give me any. But I just believe in what they're doing. And so great campus, great academics. And tremendous orchestra, tremendous choir, travel groups, music groups, and great opportunity for training if you want to go to the States. We have at the table back there information for you to stop by. There's also, for those who are really interested, there's a DVD of the ministry you can take home. If you're a pastor, as long as they last, he sent over some CDs, music CDs from the church and college, and they're free. If you'll stop by there, as long as they last, and you're a pastor, please stop by and get one of those tonight for as long as they last. We have some music. I'm a trombonist. My wife plays French horn and trumpet. And when we're in the States, we carry them and play duets. I wish we had one here, but had a horn for each of us. But this is a CD of trombones. It's not any trombones. It's the Los Angeles Philharmonic Professional. The head of the department's niece, I think it was, niece or daughter, was getting married. I think it was niece. The story's in here, but it's sealed up, so I couldn't look at it. But was getting married, and he asked what she would like for her wedding, and she said, you know how Grandma used to sing the hymns? She said, I'd like to have your trombone section play hymns. And they arranged 29 hymns. Most CDs you get about 12, 14, 16. This is 29 hymns. They play them straight, and they are impeccable, beautiful music. I encourage you to get that. And Fairhaven put out a CD, which is their best, called Throw Out the Lifeline, and it's all men's voices. And that's on the table. I told the men about this book today, The Prayers of Christ, but it's for women too. It's not what Christ taught about prayer, but it's hearing Christ pray. In the Bible, we find him praying 20 times, and the chapters are the lessons that we learn from him praying. The Prayers of Christ, I think that'll be a blessing to you. I talked on Monday night, but few people were there, on the cancer earthquake when I had lymphoma. And we came home, I got diagnosed, we got home that day to the motorhome, and I told my wife, I think we ought to write a book. And she said, write a book? How can you say something like that? I said, because God's people are going to go through this over and over again. And when we go through it, we're going to find that God is the God of all comfort and that God is going to meet us. And so in this, I'm the patient, she's the caregiver, and we keep a diary. And you'll read about me, and then you'll read about her and how she feels about it, and then how God meets her, and then how God meets me, and back and forth. The chapters are the tremors, before the earthquake, then the earthquake hits and I'm diagnosed, and then the aftershocks. But we have some of those left back there. And then finally, ABC character stories you can use to teach in your Sunday school, or you can use them with your devotions with little children. And it's a running story about a family that applies these characters' traits. And so they're ABC, so it starts with A and it ends with Z, and it's character traits like L is loyalty and M is meekness and things like that. It has a scripture, a song to go along with it, and then, of course, the story from the family. We encourage you to take a look at resources, not only at our table, but at the other tables. If you're going to get them from the table that Brother Eccles has set up tonight, I would recommend you drop by there, because we're selling out of different titles, and you'll have the best selection tonight. We're in Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Luke 24 and verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Skip down to verse 27. 27 now. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, the day, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? I want to preach to you on the burning of the heart. The burning of the heart. It could be the number one need that we have in our churches today. The burning of the heart. We have principles and we have procedures and programs galore that we use, and I'm not against any of it, but what we need is more passion for what we're doing. Our doctrine is straight, praise be to God. Our practice is improving. It's our intensity that sometimes lacks. It's our fervor that often lacks. Oh, we have computers and cell phones, more gadgets and gadgets, texting and blogs and websites and affluency, and we have all of these. What we need is more zeal and enthusiasm for the work of God again. More zeal. We're too distracted sometimes to be intent and passionate about what we're doing. We've never had more books, software, computer programs, knowledge at our fingertips, and they're helpful, and I have them and you have them, and I'm not downing that. But we've rarely had less emotion and fire than we do in our independent fundamental Baptist churches today. Many times we're just going through the motions of the whole thing. We just get a system, and we work the system. I'm like that, you're like that. But we can become too robotish in all of it, don't we? don't you know? I'm pleading with you tonight that we need to experience the burning in our heart for the things of God. Brethren, we need the passion for Christ that Fanny Crosby had when she wrote that great hymn, "I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long," can you hear the passion in that word? "But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee." Blind or not, she had a passion for Christ. Oh, the pure delight she penned of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. It was a precious time that she had with God, and she wrote about it. She's not dwelling on her problems, her blindness, and we shouldn't be dwelling on our problems and our hurts in this life. And I'm not dwelling on the misunderstandings that I have had. People don't have misunderstood our ministry or something else, you may say. But she gets to the chorus and she says, "Draw me nearer." On my cell phone, I have an app and I have my prayer list in there. And one of the sections is songs. And this is one of the songs that I go to. By the way, here's a great hint. In your devotional life, sing songs. Not just in church. Sing songs. Anyway, she says, "Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side." She had a passion for serving God. Again, we need the passion that was burning in Anne Hawks as she wrote that great song, and I have this one in there too, "I need thee," how often? Every hour. Every hour, most gracious Lord, no tender voice like thine can peace afford. I believe this is why standards are slipping today. It's one contributing thing to it. There's no burning for the things of God. We're too interested in Barna. We're interested in all the polls that are taken on how to build a church and so forth. We got a manual for how to build a church right here. We ought to have a passion to do it the Bible way. I believe it's why there's less emphasis on holiness today, because there's not the burning of the heart. I believe this is why there are fewer witnessing and fewer going into the ministry. I believe this is why there's less interest in Bible study. And there's still interest, but there's less interest than I saw 30 years ago in the ministry, because our hearts aren't burning. I believe it's why some grow callous toward fellow Christians and their needs. Our hearts haven't burned for the things of God for a long time. We become nonchalant, too nonchalant about our Christian walk. Brethren, I know that most of you are living for God. This is an Independent Fundamental Baptist Conference. And I know you're living for God. But do you ever feel like feel yourself becoming like a robot in your ministry? Are you just going through the mechanics of the ministry, while the delight of it is a vague memory? It's something you used to have, but not today. There's something wrong. How long has the passion been missing? We want to start with a word of prayer. I'll give you 3 points and we'll be finished tonight. The burning of the heart. Hang on every word. Would you do it tonight? Pay attention to every word. Young people, pay attention. This is for you as much as anybody, maybe more. May God stir in this place tonight. Heavenly Father, in your precious name now we come. Lord, we need what only you can do. And Lord, that is build a fire under us. Oh God, that our hearts may burn for the things of God. I pray, Lord, that we'll have what these disciples experienced that day on their way to Emmaus. I pray, oh Lord, that if there's somebody here that hasn't been burning for God, they'll come back to that tonight. I pray if there's one here who's lost, that you'll bring that soul to Christ before we close shop tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. There's something God wants to teach us tonight. First, I want you to look at the background of this text. The background. This is a post-resurrection scene in the passage in Luke 24. We're still living in post-resurrection times, that is, after the resurrection. In our text, we find two men. One of them is named Cleopas, we find out in verse 18, and the other one is nameless. They're taking a walk toward Emmaus. If a furlong is about 600 feet long, it's actually 606.75 feet, aren't you impressed? And that means it's about 60 furlongs, it talks about there, works out to be about 7 miles. And 7 miles, correct me if I'm wrong, is that something like about 11 kilometers? It's a little more than the miles, isn't it? Amen. So I had to write that extra special note in just for Australia. And the direction was most likely west-northwest that they were walking. So you see how far they're walking, and they're on the road and into the country. And so I want you to observe with me that, number one, these disciples still possess some things. They still possess some things as they're walking along. They talk about, they still love the Lord, although he has just died, they still love him. And they still believe in him. And remember, Christ had prayed for them that their faith fail not, and indeed their faith had not failed. They still love the memory of spending time with him. They remember the crowds as he preached to great, massive crowds. And they rehearsed his teaching and his miracles and his handling of different situations. They cherished their memories with Christ. They still possess some things, however. As you listen to them, you discover something else. They lacked something. They still had some things, but they also lacked something. Hope in the Bible, that word means confident assurance. And they had lost their hope. In verse 17, Christ noticed their obvious sadness. They had lost their confidence in his ability to fulfill what they thought that he came to do. And what they thought he was going to do. In verse 21, look at verse 21, 24:21. But we trusted that it had been he, talking about Christ, which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They thought he was going to deliver Israel from the Roman rule. And their expectations were not met. And to that degree, they were somewhat discouraged and puzzled. They had lost their hope, confident assurance that this would happen. They were sad. And already on this resurrection day, they were on the move. They're on the way to Emmaus, if you will. So they still possess some things, but they also lack something, which is hope. Maybe that describes you. Maybe there is somebody among us whose hope has been waning. Oh, may God give you an infusion tonight of hope. I learned that word infusion when I had lymphoma. They give it to you intravenously. Oh, that you wouldn't have to go through that, but that you would get stronger and your hope restored. Number three, there is a cooling of their enthusiasm we see. The fire that they used to have. During Christ's ministry, they preached and they healed the sick, but now the fire that they used to have is burning low. It's not bright anymore. Their gloomy countenance expressed no vision. Some of our countenance expresses no vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Gentlemen, we can't dare have a loss of vision. We must continue. They had no vision, no victory, no future, no burden. And by the way, that is a picture of a lot of Christians today. Their setbacks and their disappointed expectations have shaken their hope and their trust and their fervor, their passion. Their heart is no longer burning like it once was. At best, it's just smoldering. I wonder if that describes your heart condition tonight, brother. Preacher. Ma'am. Teenager. Young adult. I wonder if that describes you. Could it be that God is trying to get your attention, that your fire has burned down? And that you need embers of your heart fanned again. We've got to get this fire going again for the things of God. They certainly needed that. Notice finally in this section that he was so near to them, and yet they didn't recognize his nearness. They totally missed it. They faced a shadowy future, but Jesus Christ was right there with them as they're walking. And the Bible says their eyes were holden, verse 16. Holden means held fast or seized or focused on their situation to the exclusion of everything else. They blocked out everything else because their situation was dire. Christ had died. Their leader is gone. What in the world are they going to do now? And they're just focused on that and missing the opportunities around them. They were so perplexed by their uncertain future and the events that had just transpired that they had no clear vision to understand that this was Jesus Christ with them on the road. Totally missed Christ in their midst. And dear friend, though we may not recognize him, honor be to God, Jesus is with us. I don't know what you're going through tonight. It doesn't matter. He'll never leave nor forsake us. He's with us in every one of our trials, in every one of our situation, our circumstances. He doesn't forsake us. Even though our lives are turned upside down, we're experiencing sadness perhaps, or sorrow, when we are defeated, or when we are hurt, he wants to lift and encourage and heal us. Don't miss his presence with you. They did. He's not left you. He's right here. He's right here tonight. From the background, we learned that he's with us, that he wants our heart to burn. But secondly, we must ask ourselves the question, what should our hearts burn for? What should our hearts burn as Christians? What should our hearts burn for? We observe that their heart burned to return to the days of the past when they had walked with Christ. Oh, those were great days when I got to walk with Christ. Remember that? Remember when we got to see him feed the 5,000, heal blind Bartimaeus? We got to see him do some mighty things, teach from the boat and all those people on shore, and he taught them. Remember all of that? Their heart burned to return to the days of the past. And dear friend, there ought to be a burning in us for our best days spiritually. I mean, not just whatever will be. We shouldn't be satisfied with that. No, we shouldn't be satisfied with status quo, business as usual, spiritually. Don't be satisfied, listen to me, to your current level of growth in Christ. Don't be satisfied with that. There's more, more heights to scale. There's more things to learn. There's more walking with Christ. There's more that He wants to do through us. My, we ought to burn in our heart for our best and closest spiritual days that we've ever had. That's the whole idea of revival, don't you know? Our best days. That brings up a very good question. What was the closest that you have ever walked with the Lord? When was that? Was it when you first got saved? You felt so very, very close to God? I mean, it was just like He was right there, and which He is. Was it maybe at camp? A camp that you went to. Maybe it was while you were in high school. I guess you call it college here, or the university, or in the armed services. Maybe it was when you were in that certain church and boy, God was working and you were seeing God do things and you were close to God yourself. Maybe it was in the church that you're presently in. Maybe it was when you started your first ministry in the church and the pastor asked you to do something and you didn't think you could do it, but you got into it and you felt so close to God. And that was when you were the closest to God. Good night, you had to teach a class, and you overstudied for every class that you had. I mean, you were scared to death that you wouldn't have enough, and so you were in the book and studying and excited, and man, and you talked to your pastor and told him how you had studied that week and what God had given you, and every week was fresh. And you were close to God, and your heart was burning. Maybe it was when you got your first Bible, your first study Bible maybe, and you were digging in. When did you feel nearest to Him? When do you feel like you were growing the fastest in your Christian faith? When was that? Brethren, there ought to be a burning in you for those blessed days to return until you can say, today is the closest that I've been to Him. That's right. What revival's all about. We're getting close to Him again, like Fanny Crosby wrote. Secondly, there ought to be a burning in you for your church's best days. Your church's best days. I mean, in the early days, some folks got together and they had a heart to want to have a fellowship of believers and start a church for the glory of God. And those believers were hungry, fervent for Bible study and souls and visitation. And they had vision of what God might do. And the pastor motivated them. And it was a lovely thing. But there should be a burning in this generation, don't you think? A burning in this generation that the passion of those early days would return upon us, even as pastors, that the early day passion would return to us. And it could. In Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 4, the Holy Spirit is even called the Spirit of Burning. And the Holy Spirit is the one that works among us. Oh, that He would send a burning in our hearts to draw close to God tonight. May God refresh us with our best spiritual days personally. May God stir you to a return to the passion of the best days in your particular church's history. And thirdly, there ought to be a burning in our hearts for the days of revival like God poured out upon His people in the past. We could see revival. Well, I don't think we can see revival. We got the same God. He doesn't change. It's us that won't come up to the standard of what He expects, of what He teaches. Listen, we serve the same God, no respecter of persons, It never changes. And what he did for them, brethren, we've got to believe that God could do for us. And God could do for us personally. And God could do for our churches. And God could do in this conference tonight. Could begin tonight. Oh, we need to see our sinfulness as being exceeding sinful before God. Maybe God is showing you how lukewarm you have become, and you don't sense tonight that you're on fire. Old illustration. Brother, do you feel like you're on fire? Well, yeah, not maybe on fire. Do you feel like you're ice cold? Oh, no, I'm not ice cold. Okay, so you're where? Oh, I'd say right here. Uh-oh. That's lukewarm. You're in bad stead. Makes God sick because we could be on fire. Maybe tonight you find yourself lukewarm. We need a brokenness. Old-fashioned humility before a holy God. These disciples recalled the former days of blessing with great burning in their heart for those days. I wonder how it is with you. Don't you want your heart to be stirred spiritually to its highest and its hottest fervor ever? Don't you want that? That's what I want. Don't you want have a hunger for your children to see what you have experienced in the past, and you'd like to see it yourself, but you want your kids to see that there can be a move of God in a conference, in a church? We could see these things. Doesn't your heart burn to experience what our forefathers had in the way of revival? We read about great meetings that have been held in Australia. My, my, my. Oh, great meetings could be just ahead if we got to burning and seeking God and have a vision. There could be even greater meetings than this one. There could be. Could it start tonight? We know there's not much time before Jesus comes. This is our day to burn right now. We better get to it. Not only did their heart burn for the past days of fire and fervency to return, but also their heart burned in verse 32 for the word of God. For the word of God. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? He expounded to them from the Bible and their heart burned hotter and hotter. The more of his word they heard, the more they burned. That ought to work with us. As we hear the Bible taught and preached, oh my, we ought to let it just kindle a fire in us that God might use us, that we might draw closer to God, that we might get a greater vision, a closer walk. We need to burn. Our hearts need that burning again for the knowledge of His Word. Listen, you and I have not arrived in our knowledge of God's Word. Nobody has. No matter how long we've been saved. No matter how long you've studied the Word of God. No matter how many degrees you have after your name. Doesn't make any difference. We have not arrived. There's more to glean. Good night. Every time I open the Bible, there's something else I learn. I'm thinking, this is inexhaustible. There's so much I'm behind. I've got to catch up. My yardstick of my life is almost there, but there's more that I'm hungry to learn. How about you? We're not doing as well as we sometimes credit ourselves. We need to view ourselves as children in our knowledge of God and our knowledge of His Word. Instead of patting ourselves on the back like we're some spiritual giant. We haven't learned enough. We haven't applied enough yet. The Bible needs to become a magnet again to draw us. We need to make a study of God's Word again. get serious about it like we did when we were younger. Oh my, I had a notebook, and I kept track of everything I was learning because I was afraid I'd forget something. So I journaled. We need to burn in our hearts more for God's word. As men of God, we need to do it. If we'll do it, that can be transferred to our people. You'll know when this happens because you'll have to get a notebook and you'll get serious about learning in the Bible and write it down. It will become something that you look forward to again. It's not that you have a checklist and I've got to check off what I read today. There, I did my checklist. That's not what it's all about. What it's all about is I am hungry. I want to know what this passage means. I want to know what this word means. I want to get some tools to help me to understand what I'm reading. While we read over passages, and I found myself that I've done this. I know because I'm going back over it and reading through it and through it and through it. And as I do it, I'm finding that there are words that I'm saying, what's that word mean? And why don't I know by now what it means? And so I look it up. And I write a little note in my margin. This is what it means. Why? Because every word of God is pure. Every word is important. And he wrote it for me to understand it. And I'm just stinking lazy if I won't take time to learn it. And the word can't burn if I can't understand it. Oh my, I don't know about you, but I'm having fun. You'll value every truth so much, you won't want to forget it. The Bible says, blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he what? Meditate day and night, Psalm 1:1. The psalmist also said, how love I thy law. Psalm 119, verse 97. Do you have that love for the word? I mean love. I mean your time now to spend with the Lord. Do you still have the passion? Is it burning in your heart? It was the word when they heard it that stirred their heart to burn. All right, we need to recapture a heart that's burning. Finally, tonight, I want you to notice when they burned. The last one is, what should our heart burn for? And it should burn for the Word of God and for the greatest days to return. Greatest days in our lives. The greatest days in our church life and times of revival to return. But then, you say, if I could see from Scripture when their heart burned, I would do my best, preacher, to meet the same qualifications in my life. All right? Before we get into it, look at the contrast in verse 16 to verse 31. In verse 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. Ah, but verse 31 is where we want to be. And their eyes were what? Opened, and they knew him. We see the contrast here from being their eyes being veiled to being unveiled, opened, and from not knowing him to knowing him. Now, how did they change? There are three keys that changed them, and I'm finished tonight. Look at verse 28 and 29 for the first key. In verse 28 and 29, and they drew nigh. The point here, the first point is they invited him in. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in and tarried with them. We know from verse 15, you're right there in the scripture, from verse 15, that he approached them along the road without being asked. Isn't that right? He just came up alongside of them, started walking with them. He taught them in verse 27 without being asked. Isn't that right? He just started teaching them as he's walking along. But he would not abide with them without invitation and even urging. And if we want him to come into our daily life and abide with us until we're burning, we will have to invite him in. Not to save us, we're already saved, but invite him into our daily schedule to spend time with him. Invite him in. He will not stay where he's not invited. I wonder if you've invited his abiding presence in time alone with God. Something else here I want you to see. Where Christ is invited in as the guest, did you notice what happens in verse 30? He becomes the host. He's the guest, but now look at what happened in verse 30. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, they invited him in, he was the guest, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to them. He became the host. First, he must be invited in to abide with you, but then he wants to govern your life and direct it in the way that it should go. And the reason we don't have clearer direction and direction from God is because he's not abiding with us. He orders our lives. He blesses our lives. He gives to us what we need when we invite him in. Look at 24 and verse 32. I wonder if you've invited him into your daily life yet. I know that you're busy. So am I. But have you taken time for him and his word? When did they burn? Not only when they invited him in, but also when they heard Jesus speak. When they heard him speak. In verse 32, again, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? Notice that their heart did not burn while they talked to him. Their heart did not burn while they talked about him before he came on the scene. It was when he talked with them and they listened that their heart burned. Their heart did not burn while they were whining and lamenting all that they were facing. It was not while they were complaining and questioning that their heart burned. Not while they were crying and arguing and feeling sorry for themselves. That's not when their heart burned, and it won't be when your heart burns either. Rather, it was when they had ceased their talk. And they were silent. They were listening. And the fire started burning. Jesus was talking to them. That's what we need, Jesus talking to us. And he does it through his word. How long has it been since you were quiet enough, long enough, to let him speak to your heart? I'm talking to youth. I'm talking to seniors and everybody in between. We sing and we talk about waiting on the Lord. We're pretty good about singing about it. But I wonder if we practice it. It's no wonder that we're so anemic and weak when Isaiah 40 instructs us who the ones are that their strength will be renewed. It's they that wait on the Lord. We Baptists are far too time conscious. Time conscious about our time with God, time conscious about our services. We're too much in a hurry to really allow God to do any lasting work in our hearts. Let those who are in a hurry, or those who have to leave, leave. Let them leave. Sometimes the work of the heart takes time. Let those who are in a hurry rush their devotions. But if you're going to have the burning of the heart, you're going to have to spend some time with God. I worked a job, secular job, 40, 45 hours a week, sometimes 50. Man, I'd come home, kiss my wife, tell her how my day went, and went in and got in the book. See, that's what people don't see. They don't see that part. And God began burning in my heart. I wanted God. I wanted to know God. I wanted to know His Word. And I'd go in and spend time in the book. I'd come out. I was a better husband to live with, I'm convinced. I don't know. Ask my wife. It's time that we do some business with God, no matter how long it takes. We shouldn't leave here without the burning of the heart. This generation loves its noise. One author, and I think it's on a book table over here, talks about the noisy souls. To them, quietness is abhorred as boring. They have noise all the time, whether it's the radio or TV or CD or cell phone or computers. Got to be some noise or I'm bored. Man, this is boring. They have to be running somewhere all the time. I'm just sitting here. What am I doing? How about picking up the book? Redeem the time. They can't sit still. But in the Bible, God spoke to Elijah in the still what? Small voice. Still small voice. Why, we serve the same God. God is trying to speak to His people today. I believe it. Too often, we simply have not listened. We haven't been quiet enough, long enough, to hear any voice from God. We're talking too much to listen. We're busy too much to listen. Our priorities are upside down. We get ourselves so overcommitted that we don't have time to be holy, time to walk with God. And our hearts don't burn. We haven't sat still long enough to hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. So we don't understand the speaking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Our ears are too full of our noise to hear His voice. And neither has our heart burned toward the Lord. Could I ask you, do you really want the fire to burn in your heart? Do you? It will be when you invite Him to come in and abide. Make room for Him again in your daily schedule. It will be when you are quiet enough to hear His voice. And finally tonight, our heart will burn when their heart burned, and that was when He opens to us the Scriptures. Verse 32 again. What new truth did He tell them? Nothing. Just the old truth. But the old message came again at just the time that it was needed. And that's how it will work with us. And their heart burned because of it. Our last scripture tonight is found in Jeremiah chapter 20. Would you turn there, please? Jeremiah 20. Ladies and gentlemen, our heart can burn because we're more than conquerors through Him. We find the same thing happened in Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah had become disheartened and was about to quit, but God used His word to make Jeremiah's heart burn again. And in verse 9, the Bible says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart," what? "As a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing and could not stay." Jeremiah had known what it was like to burn in his heart toward God. He had that experience. He knew, but he had cooled off. Maybe you have cooled off. He became somewhat discouraged at the response when he would warn people about what God told him to warn them about. And still, going through the motions, but no fire, no passion. Teaching the Sunday school class, but forgot all week to pray for those that you teach. Leading in the church in some department, but no fire in your heart and no vision for that ministry of what it can do and how God can use it. Where is the fire? Still serving in your position, but no closeness and no vision. But God opened the scripture to Jeremiah again, made it like a live coal in his heart, inside him. A refining fire. And the burning kept him going. And the burning kept these disciples going. And I'm persuaded it will keep us going. The burning of the heart. Every head bowed and every eye closed down.